comfortable for hour two.
Okay, welcome members. This is the second hour with Sabina DeVita, and we are talking about electromagnetic pollution, cell phone radiation, and much more. There was one thing that you mentioned in the first segment, Sabina, in regards to the blood-brain barrier and so forth. And I actually want to ask you a little bit about vaccines to kick things off here in the next segment. A lot of people around the world have been, from my point of view, scared actually into submission by the mainstream media and basically the propaganda about the swine flu. They are lining up to voluntarily get shots, and there is, of course, big problems when it comes to this. And some of this is in regards to the preservatives in the shots. Thimerosal is a 95% mercury-based preservative that they put in there. And basically, I'd like to ask you how you, if any, you can connect these subjects, because mercury is something that is going to come into the body then, another heavy metal and so forth. Do you know if there's any connection in regards to EMF and electromagnetic pollution that actually interacts with the mercury that potentially is in people's bodies as well?
Oh, fabulous question. That is such a fabulous question. And there is a direct connection. What is really, truly fascinating, and this was research that was done, whereby those who have heavy metals in their body are actually more prone and more vulnerable to EMF, simply meaning that those who have much more in the way of mercury, lead, heavy metal toxicities in their body attract much more electromagnetic frequencies, these disharmonious frequencies, to them, and then therefore are much more bombarded by them.
That's just incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. And it is, in fact, one of the reasons why we also see individuals, and this was identified in England, where a number of people who could not even walk, they would just go into almost this paralysis when they reached any type of wire, a transmission line. They just could not walk under them. They would just collapse. And what was recognized was this, of course, their sensitivity, but it was not just sensitivity, it's hypersensitivity to electromagnetic frequencies. And these people having actually developed what's called a hypersensitivity as an allergy to electromagnetic frequencies.
Yes.
So much so that these people literally cannot live in a city environment or anywhere near electromagnetic type of technology, anything whatsoever. That's how serious it has become.
Sorry to cut you off. I just want to ask you.
No, go ahead.
Does this mean that those people who have developed this allergy for electromagnetic frequencies and basically all these devices and radiation, that they can't go back, so to speak, that they've been crossing that border, so to speak, where the body has developed an allergy for it, hence it doesn't matter if they get a large amount or small amounts of it, it's going to be as detrimental to them every single time. Is that the case?
That is the case, and they are so... Literally, because of their vulnerability, they have been so weakened by it that they cannot tolerate any whatsoever unless they wear literally clothing that protects them, wrapping themselves up, wearing devices, all of the things that I mentioned before. But they would be, in order to just to go out and even to be, say, in a vehicle. Because of their hypersensitivity. There are some individuals that couldn't even do that. They are basically only able to handle living out in the country. I remember when I was doing my research with one individual in California who connected with me. He was a researcher himself who had become extremely ill by the effects of the electromagnetic issues, and couldn't even live in his own home environment. He had actually had to move out and almost camp out. And there are individuals that literally need to just be out there in the country in a camping type situation because of their sensitivity. So this is taking place, and we're going to see much more of this. We're going to see people, of course, feeling the ill effects, but not being able to identify why. They will be labeled with having something in the way of some sort of disease, and not really identified as a combination of, say, these heavy metals and electromagnetic disturbance.
So what are some of the more common symptoms of this? Could it be disrupting your sleep patterns? Can you get other physical ailments because of your sensitivity to electromagnetism?
Oh, absolutely. It can be anything from feeling agitated, feeling nervous, difficulty concentrating, poor focus, lack of energy, vitality, fibromyalgia, chronic digestive problems, inability to sleep, hair loss, inability to, I mentioned focus, vision distortion, actual visual problems, disturbance there, memory is a big one. Alzheimer's, of course, being associated with that, but just memory. Memory issues are becoming much more pronounced. Not only is it that it's found amongst the elderly, we're seeing memory issues with 30-year-olds. Okay, due to the EMS. We're seeing it now with much more, of course, the aging that's happening with young children, even at the age of 4, 5, and 6, as a result of this.
Ish. That's just
because,
incredible.
because it's disturbing to the hormone.
Yes.
So we're going to see a lot of different types of variations taking place as a result of this.
How about go back a little bit more to mercury again, amalgame, I think you call it, amalgamate or something like that, basically mercury in the teeth, that must play into
Correct.
This as well.
Yes. Oh, it's a much, now, as you know, that's a major, has been a major controversial topic in amongst dentistry and the whole profession for quite a number of years. It's been very slow to actually, for that, particularly that profession, to identify, and there are many reasons for that. The people that have been investigating this have been researchers within the field themselves who have been able to certainly surmise from a lot of data on mercury and how toxic it is, what it does and how detrimental it is to individuals who have it in their mouth. Even amongst dentists, it's one of the causes of cancer. It is one of the causes of MS and any type of neurological problems that we're seeing. Certainly heavy metals is one of the causes for that. We just see it again, mentioning any of the diseases, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, depression. I remember a case of a client of mine who had very severe depression and did not want to proceed with a psychiatric drug. She opted to do it more naturally. Well, what we did ascertain with her was that she had a high amount of mercury amalgams in her teeth, and so she did proceed with having them removed. And what was very interesting is that upon the first removal of the mercury amalgam, and I was working closely with the dentist at that time, who was very much an alternative dentist and who had identified by measuring using a galvanic skin response type test at that time to basically ascertain that there was a high discharge. It creates also an electromagnetic field within the mouth, being a heavy metal, and so that there was an electromagnetic field right in the mouth. And so be it. She proceeded with the removal. And upon the first removal, what was really remarkable as she described this, she felt as if this heavy cloud, that was dark, depressed, that she was suffering with for so many years, started to lift as that was being removed. And that's how she described it. And actually was a turnaround in her health to such an extent that, of course, she did not experience that heavy, such deep pit of depression that she had experienced for so many years upon the total removal. But just that first tooth, there was already a change.
That's just incredible.
So,
yeah.
It is incredible. So imagine the amount of people who suffer from mental health disturbance or mental health illness and how many of them have amalgams in their teeth.
Yes.
And how close that is to their brain.
And again, as you mentioned, or as we've been discussing here so far, there's so many different substances and ways, basically, that we're being, well, attacked is one way to look at it. And I mean, just the recent thing that has been coming up now is the so-called green light bulbs, which actually contains mercury. Workers are becoming sick, and if you drop one of these bulbs, you're supposed to leave the room for at least 30 minutes. What do you think about this, and what does that tell about the kind of the green version of things that we're being offered right now?
Well, my view of that is that there have been too many distortions with the green movement. We really need to begin to ask some very, very clear, poignant questions as to really what is behind it all. And I question that the movement has many different aspects to it. And many of them are not really clear as to what those motives are. And some of them are not really for us in terms of what I mean by that. They really are not in our favor as far as the movement to having these new light bulbs. They're actually much more detrimental. So there are other ways to proceed with it. There have been inventions, for example, in changing the ballasts that are used in the lighting fixtures that would help to change and offset the electromagnetic frequencies. That's not even being really looked at. It's more changing the light bulb that has now mercury in it. And as you pointed out, if one should break, you are required to leave the room because it's a biohazard. It's that biohazard material.
Mm. Well,
and, you know, and when we think about that, Henry, look at how almost insane this is to think that it's okay to put in the teeth.
Yeah, exactly. They claim, of course, that no, it's because it's in a solid form and then it won't leak, it won't, you know, blah, blah, blah. But is that true at all?
That's never been actually proven to be true. Just as much as the research or being requested to prove that it does leak, well, let's prove the other, that it hasn't. I think we need to start asking those questions just as much.
Yeah.
Would you agree? I mean, that's...
Absolutely.
Obvious. Well, prove to, you know, that it doesn't happen. And that has never actually been proven. That, in fact, what has been shown, and I remember Dr. Huggins, who is one of, Hal Huggins, who is one of the key researchers in this area, who did identify that mercury was very detrimental and developed a whole protocol for the detoxification process that was needed, and also the importance of how the mercury had to be removed from the teeth. There was a particular protocol. It was not an easy procedure because of how detrimental it was and is if it is removed too quickly from the system. And so he had developed this whole protocol. And this became much more not only... accepted. There was a particular group of dentists and surgeons that delved into this and actually began to follow his recommendations. And there's much more that has been developed as a result of that. So again, coming from within the field of the dentists themselves, that there is a group of dentists that have identified the problem and are working with it.
That's very
so
good.
It's wonderful to see. And there are a number of different researchers, doctors within the field who are particularly now identifying many of the problems as related to mercury. Mercury is such a substance that the bottom line to this whole issue is that as long as it is in the body, it will continually compromise the immune system.
Mm. So, I mean, we have doctors or dentists that are removing mercury from the teeth. It's being offered in many different practices and so forth. But did you say that it can be detrimental to remove it too quickly? Does it has to be done
Correct.
In a certain way? Tell us about that.
Yes. That's actually a recommendation that Dr. Hal Huggins had made, and certainly a number of other dentists have followed through with that and have found, in fact, that if it is removed too quickly, the person can experience a major healing crisis because of the toxicities being removed too quickly, too swiftly, and the body not being able to handle it, particularly the liver and the kidneys that basically need to flush and remove the toxins out through and excrete the toxins out of the body. And if the body cannot do that fast enough, then what happens is it's just reabsorbed. And so we're looking at a situation where it really is not then being of great help when the body cannot excrete it as fast as it is now being really released from the tissues. So what I'm saying is that the body can handle, it depends on totally the individual, the state of health, the detoxification that has gone on beforehand. Dr. Hal Huggins does recommend a whole procedure before even attempting to have the removal, the mercury removal. He highly recommends that a person goes on a detoxification program using certain minerals, certain vitamins and nutrients to assist with that, so that the excretory systems, the bowels, the liver, the bladder, the kidneys, are able to handle and to excrete these toxins.
Yes, so basically it could be because the immune system are working so hard in a way all the time to keep the body in shape. So when the toxin is removed, it's like it goes into an overdrive and it becomes... is that the kind of effect that is happening there?
That's sort of the idea. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yes. And it's just overwhelmed, and it's like having a cup, if you will, if you just can imagine a cup that is just full of, and 3/4 of it is already full of, say, these metal and all kinds of other toxins, and now we're going to put in another whole cup within this 3/4 cup. Well, what's going to happen? Obviously, it's going to overflow, and it's just the body cannot handle that. And so the person would just become extremely ill and feel can become very dizzy, nervous, mental aberrations. It can create tremendous depression. I mean, anything can really take place as a result of a symptom or a trigger of a detoxification reaction. So in order to prevent that, what was recommended, and what I certainly recommend myself, is to do and follow a particular procedure that it is...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So it's in keeping with what the body can handle.
Absolutely. And do you have more information about Hal Huggins on your website, or do you recommend where people go?
That you probably could get that information going to his particular website directly. That's certainly not, dentistry is not my area of what I do. I work with them and certainly know the importance of what needed to be done. And certainly going to his website, that will open up doors and avenues to other dentists in various countries that certainly are applying that type of research and wisdom in how to remove the heavy metal, the mercury in particular.
I see. Very good. That's an excellent recommendation. I'm going to try to find some links, by the way, for our listeners so they can take it from there if they're interested.
Yes. And I may have some others, and I can certainly email those to you because that is a very important piece to having absolutely good health.
Yes.
And if mercury is in the system, and obviously coming back to that whole vaccine issue, by having it now injected into your system, it's it's just not making sense to do that. Just knowing that one particular substance, which is the thimerosal that you were mentioning, which is extremely toxic to humans.
Absolutely. And by the way, just to mention this, there are other versions around of if people even are so inclined that they want to take the vaccine anyway. There was some news released a couple of weeks ago, I think, where many of the German politicians were getting a version of the swine flu shot that actually did not contain mercury. So there are alternatives out there, actually.
Well, there is some, again, controversy about that in that they are saying that there is no thimerosal, but the thimerosal is used in the whole manufacturing of the various adjuncts or the various individual ingredients that have been used. So there is not total, say, thimerosal-free vaccine.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they've reduced it. But the question and the controversy is that in some of the research that has been done in this area, that there is still some minute amounts of it. And so the question is, do you want any of that substance in your system? Plus some of the other adjuvants. It's not just, you know, the mercury. Mercury, of course, being the most horrific, which has been, as probably you have become well aware of, the fact that it has been linked very much and very closely to autism.
Yes.
With children. And many, of course, many reports and research done in particularly in that area. Well, the thimerosal, of course, is just, again, one of these compounds that has been one of the major implications of the cause of that. And, again, research that was, again, put forward by a number of different researchers as to what's happening when this enters the brain and what happens, and research that actually filmed. And this was really interesting. This was actually a Canadian, this particular research was a Canadian research done at a university level where they took a dendrite, which is a neuron, and wanted to see what would happen with the exposure of mercury vapors, to these neurons, which is what we have in our bodies that connect and send out our nerve transmission. It's kind of like this electrical communication that I was talking about earlier. And what would happen, like these little wires that we have in our system, what would happen when exposed to mercury? And what was interesting with these neurons, if you can just imagine sort of like this little wire and then had little tentacles, sort of like these little fingers, and just imagine these like five finger, you know, coming out of this wire, just to kind of get a visual for that. And these dendrites, what they actually filmed was that when mercury vapors were being, these dendrites were being exposed to it, it completely singed and dissolved, literally just digested. It just singed off these dendrites.
Wow.
And basically what that means is that the communication stops.
What is some of the effects that will have?
Well, this is what we are seeing with the brain in particular with autism, and what has been identified with the in particularly with the mercury now issue in autism is one researcher actually found that it causes mini strokes in the brain and cuts off the oxygen to various areas in the brain. And, of course, when that is happening, as you can well imagine, that means that there's going to be dysfunction and taking place in the whole, not just in the brain, but in the whole body. And this is what we are seeing with many of these children.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I don't know if I pronounced this correctly, a French term, Guillain-Barré syndrome?
Yes, Guillain-Barré disease.
Barré disease. Tell us about that. What is that?
Well, it's something similar to the effect that we're talking about, and in particular, it's a type of paralysis in the nervous system and this whole neurological system, and many of these people are basically can no longer walk, in some cases can no longer move. Some of them may have upper body movement, but no longer able to move and walk and move their legs. So they're, in some cases, not able to speak. So it's just a matter of how it affects them and how their central nervous system is affected. And it's similar to what I've been speaking about. And this has been well known with 1976. This was documented when the swine flu, and you can actually access that if you go to the 1976 CBC documentary. And that would be interesting for your viewers, your listeners, whereby the CBC at that time was reporting on the swine flu vaccine that was given and what happened and the amount of people with Guillain-Barré disease
yes.
as a result of the swine flu vaccine.
So it's we're getting a repeat here in a way in these
states. Yes, we
states.
Are.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. We are definitely getting a repeat. And the unfortunate part about it is that the media has so much of an impact, mass media does,
yes,
and that people run because the mass media says so. And I certainly, I guess one of my messages to the listeners here and to your listeners is question, ask questions. Research it.
Yes.
There is so much more available information today, thanks to the internet, thanks to what is now like, such as with what you are doing with this particular show. There is so much more that is accessible to us. Do the research, ask the questions, and get the answers. And it's not just, well, you know, it's important to get the answers. And I think that more and more people will begin to feel certainly much more comforted by knowing what is really taking place.
Absolutely.
They will feel really, really, truly comforted to know that there are alternatives to what they can do with any type of epidemic and pandemic.
Absolutely. I want to talk more with you about that and different, basically, you know, what you think about the swine flu scare, the global pandemic that the WHO now says that it is and so forth. And you have another way of approaching that, the use of essential oils, et cetera. I want to talk about that. But before, what
sure.
what do you think about just simple exercise to actually keep the system clean, you know, sweat things out and as a way of detoxing? Is that something that you would recommend as well?
Well, that certainly is one aspect of certainly exercise, and I think it really is a whole lifestyle shift, and that really takes into psychological, emotional, and physical changes for really everyone concerned. Having good eating habits, good food, and what does that mean? That's a whole other topic. For some people, what good food is may not necessarily be good food to another. So,
true.
But certainly healthy, lots of vegetables, fruit. And I'm talking about fresh vegetables, lots of juicing, a lot more raw food in the diet, for example.
Yes.
Really decreasing the amount of carbs, in particular the bread, the grain, the dairy, the sugar. Alcohol, coffee, these would be things that really compromise the immune system. And then, of course, with that would be exercise, as you pointed out, a different change and shift in attitude to help one's immune system again. It's important, extremely important, to maintain a very positive attitude, to be into more of an attitude of love and compassion. Now, I know what I'm saying sounds easier than what for some people may be able to handle because of what perhaps they're going through.
Mm.
And there are many ways that we do have to help people, particularly with any type of stress that the person may be going through. There are many ways that can help. And what I particularly, the essential oils, and I will mention about ways that can be oils that can be used for stress and emotional stress or trauma, shock, I mean, any of these things that people may be going through at the moment, there are many ways it can help. And I particularly utilize a combination of energy techniques and essential oils being one of those that fits in both as an energy tool, if you will, along with basically hands-on healing and many ways that can be taught to people that they can utilize in their home. Simple ways. And these need to be done more and more. And I really feel quite passionate, a lot of passion about that.
Is aromatherapy, for instance, under the header of essential oils, or are you talking about something else when you say oils?
Well, I call it essential oils because aromatherapy is a little bit different from where I'm coming from, in that there are different grades of essential oils and different what we call therapeutic aspects of essential oils. The particular, when I talk about essential oils, and I am referring to essential oil sciences, I truly am referring to an herbal essential essence, basically, which is the oil from the plant, that delivers the nutrients in such a way, at such a high frequency, at such a high amount, that we can take these internally as well as using them externally.
Mm.
And that's the reason that I need to qualify the difference between that and what is termed as aromatherapy. Most of what is being used in aromatherapy is the use of the essential oils for external application only.
Yes.
And so I do need to make the distinction, because when I refer to an essential oil, I often refer to them being used both internally and externally.
Mm.
And so I certainly do not want buyers to go out there and buy an oil that could be loaded with an adulterant or a solvent and taking it internally, because that would be extremely toxic.
Yes. That's good.
So that's the reason that I do need to qualify that.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about some of the essential oils. Is there any specific that you prefer or have found work on different ways for different syndromes, or is it a little bit all across the board, so to speak? Tell us generally about it.
For sure, absolutely. And I may even send you a link that shows a little synopsis of this particular blend of an essential oil.
Please.
And the reason that I'm... Sorry?
Oh, yeah, please do that. Go ahead and send me links. Yes.
No, the reason I am going to just talk about this particular blend of an essential oil is it was used traditionally when the Great Plague took place in Europe. Back in the 15th, between the 13th, 15th to 16th century, it was over 300-year period. As you may know, and historically, the Great Plague literally devastated about 50 to almost 60% of the population at that time. For those who don't know, the ones that actually survived the Great Plague, and particularly the practitioners at that time who survived it as well, were utilizing essential oils as a means to not only boost their immune system, but as a way to protect against these particular types of pathogens and particularly in the Great Plague at that time, it was, you know, the bubonic plague, and et cetera. It was a bacterium that these essential oils, of course, can help to neutralize and protect us from. And what was found back then was a particular blend. And it was based on a very interesting story. It's a true story, and it is recorded in the British archives, and that's actually how the information was, not only observed, but was obtained as to what particular oils were used. And there were five oils that I'm going to speak of, and one of them, this is now in a blend, and it's called Seeds. And it's one of the oils that I recommend highly for most people to begin with, mainly because it has these five oils in it and because of the history of this particular blend. It has cinnamon in it, and cinnamon bark has been known, very well researched, for its ability to offset, neutralize particular pathogens, viruses, bacteria, fungal, fungus, mold, etc. And also another oil that has been found to be linked also to do some very similar to cinnamon is clove oil. Clove oil has also been identified to be one of the highest as an antioxidant Now, antioxidants are extremely important in helping the body to receive and absorb oxygen.
Mm.
To help, of course, to protect against these microbes. And clove oil is the highest, not only with the essential oils, it is the highest of all foods in particular. So this is where it is extremely beneficial. And another oil that is used in this blend is rosemary, which is also another high antioxidant substance, oil. And, of course, that helps, as I mentioned earlier, to help neutralize these bacteria and mold and many of these pathogens. And then we have eucalyptus. Eucalyptus globulus is pretty well, eucalyptus radiata, which is the particular eucalyptus that is used in this blend, has been well known again and documented for its ability to, as an antiviral or antibacterial, antipathogenic, and its aid for that. And so we have all of these oils and lemon. Sorry, lemon oil would be the other one that's in this blend. Mm. This blend is called Thieves, as a thief, called Thieves, which is an unusual name.
Very unusual.
It is a very unusual name. And the Thieves name came from the original story that I was mentioning of the Great Plague, whereby these, at that time, these thieves were looting the bodies. Back in the 15th, between the 15th and 16th centuries when the story was recorded. And these thieves at that time in France were looting the bodies of the dead people. I mean, these people were, of course, as you can imagine, not just the bacteria, but the plague was extremely contagious. And so the king at the time found it very curious as to how these thieves were surviving the plague when they were looting the bodies. How could they do this?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we want to know the secret. And so he actually had his soldiers, his men, to go out and find these thieves, but he basically said to them, I want them and I want them alive because I want to know what they are doing. I want to know their secret. Well, of course, they did apprehend them, and when they were brought to court, they were obviously requested how they were doing, how they were able to survive the plague when they were amongst the dead people. And in exchange, they would be given their freedom if they were to share in exchange for their information. So, of course, they did. They simply said, well, we are spice merchants. We are apothecaries.
Ah.
That's what we do. We work with the spices, the herbs, the essential oils. And every morning and every night, we take these oils and these spices from head to toe, and we rub our bodies. And every single part of our body is covered with these spices and these aromas.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what protects us.
Wow, what an interesting story. So that's where that term comes from, because there were what they call plague doctors and so forth, and some of them had this almost like a beak, and as far as I understand it, they had different actually herbs inside the beak in order to, that was obviously to cover up the smell as well, but it could be a kind of a therapy, not only from the aromatherapy point of view, but it's something that you kind of bathe in another, you know, you have a little mini environment,
yes,
so to speak, right there, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's exactly, the Elizabethan-type physicians at that time would cloak themselves in those beaks and their wardrobe. It would look like a cape.
Yeah.
And gloves, et cetera, for the reason of certainly protection. And in their beak, what was interesting, they had certain herbs, and they also had the essential oils.
Mm.
So that they were doing two things. They were inhaling an essential oil constantly so that they were also then basically detoxing or neutralizing anything that could come into their particular space in terms of what they could be inhaling. So it would protect them that way. And of course, it was much more pleasant to smell something that they were smelling instead of the death that was around them.
Yes. How about the use of these substances that you mentioned on their own, or herbs, even if we look at cinnamon, or if we look at clove, or citrus, a few other ones that you mentioned as well, eucalyptus, rosemary, etc. Are these good as spices as well? Do they help, or do they need to be in concentrated form, in oil form, for this to really have the true effect?
Great question. Two things. One is certainly do increase them in your diet, having cinnamon in the diet, clove in the diet, absolutely will help. It will help with the immune system. Now, the difference, of course, is as you just mentioned, they are concentrate. They're extremely much more powerful. Just to give you an example, peppermint oil, one drop of peppermint oil is equivalent to 26 cups of peppermint tea leaf.
Oh, there you go.
So I particularly would want to have my bottle of peppermint oil rather than just having my batch of, say, peppermint leaf tea.
Mm-hmm.
I would certainly, and you probably would too.
Yes.
So the concentrate is going to do so much more, 1 to 2 drops. And the also what's really very key about the essential oils is their versatility. You can now take, for example, that bottle of clove. It can be applied, as I mentioned, internally as well as externally. So it can be applied to the bottom of the feet because there are specific reflex points there that will help to deliver the nutrients to, say, the lungs or to the liver or to the intestinal area, to wherever it needs to go. It will be absorbed and delivered to that part of the body, and it's done very quickly.
Mm.
The other application, of course, it can be applied to water and drink it as a tea. So it's going to have that much, a tremendous much more of an impact because of the concentration of it. The oils compared to an herb are, you're looking at about 60 to 70% much more potent of as a concentrate than what you do get as an herb.
So it's really for convenience in one regard as well, actually, that you use to have it in oil form, obviously. But how about the quality of the oil? Is there better or worse, organically grown, etc.?
Yes, absolutely. Quality is critical. That's the reason I was saying essential oils and not the aromatherapy. There's certainly people will say, oh, well, I'm going to go out and buy that clove oil.
Mm.
And no, it's really critical and to get the highest. And I will say this, that the company that I am right now, and this is a company that anyone can actually acquire because they have now, actually they're now selling into 99 countries in the world, this particular company that guarantees, it's considered the world leader in essential oils. And particularly because they are grown without any pesticides, herbicides, anything whatsoever in the soil, pristine land, the mountain water irrigation, the spring water coming from the mountains, that is, again, the growing of the herbs themselves. And then in particular, too, is the way that they're harvested and then the way that they are distilled without any whatsoever, any, and I'm emphasizing this, solvent or chemical additive to that whole process.
And generally, the rule is what you can put on your skin is also something that you should be able to put into your body and vice versa, right?
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. And unfortunately, 98% of the world market in essential oils is used for the fragrance and the perfume industry, which means that only 2% out there is really viable as a therapeutic agent. That's critical.
Sabina, the name, the brand, do you have more information on this on your website?
Yes, I do. And you'll see that I have a connection there to the Young Living site that I have connected to it. You'll need to have my particular window to get in there so that you can, for example, yourself, you could order. And you could become, the way that the company has set it up, is that once I have introduced you, because it is done as a sponsoring, a way that you can then become sponsored, you can sponsor others, you can sponsor your whole network, and everyone can get it at a discount. You can then order it directly online. It doesn't have to come through me. And that's the other beauty of the company. It means that you can acquire these directly to your home.
Okay, there you go. For people who are interested in this and want to read more about it and potentially try to get some of this, where do they go?
They can go to probably the easiest way will still be to go to DaVitaWellness.com, just to keep it very simple. And once they go into that site, they can just go into where I talk about the essential oils.
Okay, that's very good to know.
There is a whole, and just click into that area of essential oils, just follow it. It will take them right into the major site for just acquire and purchasing. They can become a customer. They can become their own member, distributor, and because the membership is what I certainly would recommend, and then that means that they can certainly order it ongoing and receive a discount as well.
Okay, very interesting. Go ahead.
No, and again, the emphasis that these are the therapeutic oils that can be used both internally as well as topically.
Gotcha. That's good to clarify that.
Yeah. It really is important I clarify it. Very important I clarify it. Mm. And because, again, with the school programs that I do have, and that is on the energywellnessstudies.com site, I do outline many different ways, of course, that these oils can be utilized and many different programs that have been developed. That takes us into a whole other area of exploration. However, for the immediacy, one of my recommendations is certainly the Thieves oil. And what I could do for you is actually send you some of the recommendations, and I can email them to you, and you can actually place them on your website.
We can try that, absolutely. I would definitely want to read more about this because it sounds very interesting. So I'm going to definitely link these up, not only for my own point of view, but for everyone who's listening as well. So if they want to check it out and get some of this, they know where to go.
Exactly. Exactly. Because at this point, another very key element here when we're talking about the flus and the colds and what we're being exposed to, what is essential about this is the oils can also be dispersed into the environment, simply meaning we can diffuse it into the home. And what that means is that any type of pathogen that is in the air, these oils will literally neutralize those, and so that you're not inhaling any of these particular types of pathogens. And that's the reason that in the story that I, going back to the seeds, by them having it on their bodies, not only were they absorbing it through their tissues, but they were also smelling these vapors.
Yeah.
Okay, that just the dispersion of the essential oils will neutralize the pathogens. And the other beauty is they also increase atmospheric oxygen.
Okay, how is that? Do you know how that works?
I probably wouldn't do it justice to really explain the mechanism of that particular aspect. What I can explain is that all of the oils are made up of wonderful different chemical constituents. And the chemistry of the essential oils is truly fascinating and quite involved. And particular constituents have the ability to attract oxygen and literally help to absorb it into the body. And one of them being is a compound or a particular, chemical constituent called sesquiterpenes, which has the ability to deliver oxygen. That's its job. It just literally has that ability to do that from the molecular, the chemical construction of this particular constituent. And when it enters, it literally draws with it is oxygen, and the other important piece about that, it has the ability to also cross the blood-brain barrier, which I talked about earlier, and deliver oxygen to the brain.
Mm.
And that is also extremely important.
Absolutely.
That's where we want it to be. Exactly, from all that we've talked about.
And you mentioned before as well, in terms of antioxidants and so forth, does that help to, if I understand this correctly, help to break down what's known as free radicals? Is that correct?
That's correct. That is very correct. And so we have these free radicals, which of course can be derived from, as we talked about with EMF, because of that agitation to the atoms and what that does with this break off of the electrons. I'm not going to get into too much of that, but just that we have these free floating pieces, if you will, that are create havoc in the body. And foods will do this. Also, in terms of chemicals, mercury will create the free radical. Any of these particular heavy metals, chemical, pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, any of those will also create these free radicals. Additives to foods, preservatives to foods, food colorings, all of these will also contribute to free radical damage. So hence the reason we need to delete them from our diet and have a way to also take in substances to help to rid the body of these particular contaminants as well. And so that's where, again, foods that are high in antioxidants, essential oils, which are extremely high in antioxidants, are going to assist the body in ridding and deleting and excreting these free radicals that create the damage to the cells, that create the damage in the body.
Mm. Well, that's very good to know that there are different remedies out there, there's different things, and again, there's people like you out there trying these things out, and research is being done on it, and I think overall, Sabina, that's a good note to kind of begin to round things up here for this time on, and obviously I want to thank you very much for a very informative program and vital information, but as a way of round things up for us, please mention your websites again for us, the title of the book that we talked about primarily in the first hour, and where you recommend some of the people to go here to read more about all of this.
Absolutely. The one of the main sites is www.devitawellness.com. My name, D-E-V-I-T-A, wellness.com. The other website is www.energywellnessstudies.com, just as it's spelled, spelled energy, wellness, studies, and so there'll be three S's in there, .com. On both sites, there is a wellness store people can go to, and they'll see the section on electromagnetic pollution, a hidden stress to your system, and that's one of my books. And I do have a couple of other books there, and I just will briefly mention one of my other books that does have a section on the essential oils that is also available on the site. It's called Saving Faith. There's a section quite a bit on essential oils within that book. And then from those both of those sites, people can also click in, particularly the DaVita Wellness on essential oils, get more information, and, of course, connect to the sites for acquiring, purchasing the oils.
Okay, excellent. There we have it. We will have these links up on our website, redascreations.com, as well. Thank you so much for your time today, Sabina. Very, very informative and important indeed.
Oh, you are so welcome. Really, truly, I admire you for what you're doing, Henrik, in bringing this information forward and for your interest in really the holistic point of view and certainly sourcing me out way over here in Canada. And you're there in Sweden, so I certainly honor what you're doing and I admire the work that you are doing and I applaud you for it.
Thank you so much.
So, you are so welcome.
That's our program with Sabina DaVita. Thank you for listening and for subscribing. We will be back soon with more radio. In the meantime, don't forget to take a look at Red Eyes TV. We will talk more later. My thanks to Elizabeth, Fredrik, and Lana. Take care. Bye-bye.
Forefront. We present